Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Recording.
How are you, Emma Bear?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, sure, I'm grand. I'm back from Kilkenny. I went to Wicklow and Kilkenny, you know, for the Jen Zamperini segment I've been doing.
Yes.
So I went off to Wicklow, met the kids in Blessington. They were so, so cute, absolutely adorable. Went to Kilkenny and I met the kids in Kilkenny this morning. And again, they were just so adorable. Just mad
okay.
For the smallies.
But what are you like? What are you going to say? You're not going to say kids in Wicklow
really
are great, but the Kilkenny kids.
No, I'll tell you, some of the schools have been tough. You know, I'm not going to lie. Some of the schools were a bit of work. You know, they may have been really graft for it. Like they kind of came in and were like, what are you doing with your life? Like I felt that was the vibe. But the Wicklow and Kilkenny kids were really sound. In both schools, I asked them how much they thought I should be paid. And they came back with really favorable figures. So
nice.
What I'm saying is I have a new agent. He is 7 years of age, but he's putting a value on me.
So you've done a good few of these now. You are basically Ireland's answer to Michael Barrymore.
Up to 90, up to 90, up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
Is that correct?
Well, I mean, let's just say I'm a little bit luckier around the swimming pool, but yes, I have been called Michael Barrymore.
Okay.
It is true.
He used to do the show with the kids, didn't he? Kids say the funniest things. Is that what it was?
I always feel a kids show is like it's definitely the preamble to the big fall, isn't it?
Well, I remember Sarah Harmon, shout out to Sarah Harmon, who joined our, no, did she? She was in another school before the primary school we ended up in, like myself.
There was a lot of schools switching around in your childhood, wasn't there? A lot of, you know what, I will fancy a new school this week. A bit of a buffet.
No, just the ones, right? But anyway, she was in the same boat. She had lived in Tala. She'd actually lived around the corner from me and moved to Rathfarnham, made the big pilgrimage to Rathfarnham, the big move. Anyway, she went to a different primary school. But I found out that she had been on school around the corner. Remember, it's the school around the corner. Just
sorry,
the same.
Did you just say, do you remember school around the corner? Like, yes, I've had a lot of trauma, but of course I remember school around the corner. Because, in fact, that's how I try to sell it to parents when I ring up and they're like, Julie, who? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Do you remember school around the corner? Well, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
And I actually use the word vibe.
No. I'm going to be completely honest about this show. So when Sarah Harmon told me that she had been on the show with her sister, so her sister is a year younger than her. I don't think there's that, like, you know, 18 months or whatever. They're quite close in age. And her sister, Maria, was just a year behind her.
Yeah.
And they look
quite. Were like, let's get it done.
Well, yeah, they had another two kids then later on. But anyway, right. So they were quite close in age and they actually looked quite alike. But Maria had the curly hair and Sarah had the straight hair. Anyway, They got on the show, and when Sarah told me about this, now I have a feeling I got to see a tape of it in their house, and they didn't say, in fairness, I'm sorry, I think they're great girls, but they were shit on the show, okay? They weren't bringing the energy, they weren't giving it the jazz hands. They were just answering the questions, and of course, we're all waiting for the kid to say something stupid. So as a show, Jerry Ryan presented it first, RIP, and then it was Ray Darcy. For me, the show... it was fairly, like, the show itself was fairly shit. It was fairly hit and miss because these were Irish kids. They were quite like, do you know what I mean? And they only had them there for so long. So when you're doing this segment for Jen Zamparelli, you're getting, I assume, loads of audio. But they weren't filming, they weren't filming this thing for ages. So it was real hit and miss, like, whether they were going to get gold or stuff. Like, this is obviously me as a viewer, as a fucking 7-8-year-old child. But anyway, show was hit and miss, still liked it, whatever. I would have given my left arm to be on that show. And when she told me about that, I was so envious. I was just like, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. What was the green room like? Who was there? Like, I want everything. And she's just like, yeah, we just went on it. And that was like pretty much it. But I would have loved to have gone on that show.
Of course.
Would what I'm know? Saying is, can you interview me for one of these segments?
Well,
and just
no, you would
drop it
to
into
regress.
The middle.
You would have to regress psychologically, but we could do maybe a bit of hypnotism.
But I think we could script it because you... No, I think we could script it because then you could make sure that you get the gold. You know, what you're basically looking for... Well, back in the day on School Around the Corner, you were basically looking for them to say something fucking mad about their mom's cooking or something mad about their dad farting. That's kind of what you're, that's the goal, really, isn't it?
Well, you
dad's
don't
farting,
want...
man can't cook. That's kind of.
That's the vibe for sure.
Yeah.
No, well, I suppose the thing with, I do get so much audio on these things and like you do, I suppose the joy of it is, that just as you're nodding off, they come out with something and you're like, mwah, chef's kiss.
Okay.
You slide the fiver across the table. You say, nicely done, be on your merry way. So I suppose it is that the hit and miss is kind of part of the beauty of it. But I know what you mean, that it would have been nice
probably,
with the highlights.
Do you know, it probably works better with audio, though, because kids would be less self-conscious.
Yeah.
Do you know, and them being in the studio and big cameras.
Yeah, they were very, very cute, now I have to say. It was funny because I thought that I was going to stay with my mom, and I was just telling you there, she was kind of saying to hold the phone because she's not quite at the 2 weeks, and obviously the old Delta, I don't know if you've heard about this Delta variant, they're kind of keeping it on the DL.
No, I hadn't heard about it.
It's coming. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. So I was like, oh, because that kind of scuppered my plan, which was basically to squat in my parents' gaff for the night. So then I said, look, I'll go online and I'll just book somewhere cheap and cheerful. And it was funny because I stayed in this place and the staff were so nice. Like, it was definitely cheap and cheerful for sure, but the staff were lovely. And she, you know, herself, like, as long as there's a bed, you know, I don't mind. But I did have to laugh because all over, there were a lot of photocopies of this all over the cheap and cheerful place I stayed. So in the reception, the corridors, there was a copy of this in the bedroom itself. And of course, the lift, multiple copies in the lift. There was a page which had a traffic light. So it had been printed in black and white. And it was informing you at the best time to come down for the breakfast because they get busy. So it was a traffic light system. But what really irked me was there were so many copies of this loitering about the vicinity. And because they had done it on a black and white printer, somebody had gotten a red pen and done the red light. Somebody else had gotten an orange highlighter and done the orange light and the green light. And I just thought, how much time did that take you? That is a lot of effort. And also, not that that's a criticism, but I just thought it was interesting.
Sounds like it.
And also, is it a Karen? Am I a Karen? Probably. Let's face it. And then it was funny because as I was checking in, this guy came down and he was looking for a plaster. So you're like, okay, fair enough. The man needs a plaster.
Yeah.
Got his plaster, went up. And then there was an issue with my key. I like to say there was an issue with my key, but realistically, I'm an L1. I'm probably just going to work my key. I came back down and another guy was down in the reception asking for a plaster. And I was like, what the hell is going on in this place? Everyone is bleeding profusely.
Those lads were trying to get their keys to work and they ended up slicing their hands. It's the keys.
It is the keys, isn't it? Rewatch Pretty Woman the other day. And isn't it so funny, you know, that scene? Like, such a great film. But I think probably my favourite ever. But when Richard Gere's character is battling with the... Do you remember when he was battling with the card and we were all like, wow. And he says, I miss keys. And we're like, they don't even use keys. Wow. Isn't it funny? And now we all use the cards. That's how time works, kids.
It's probably about, I don't know, it's probably about 8 years since I've seen Pretty Woman, but
wild women know.
I do know what you're saying. I remember, like, back in the day when you'd watch movies, you would look at the American homes and whatever, and you'd be just like, wow. Do you know what I mean? Like the size of the fridge. Wow.
An ice machine.
Wow. The big fucking toaster. Because I had never seen a toaster. Well, we didn't start out with a toaster. I mean, that was a luxury purchase years down the line. But I never remember seeing like a four slice toaster. That was always the dealio on the American movies.
I've never seen a four-star toaster in the flesh.
Four slice? Have you not?
No.
Of what am I gaff?
Do you? Well, you see, you've got a lot of people in your gaff.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like a snazzy one. It's just, it's a bog standard four slices. But I think we're bridging the gap.
What is your favourite line from Pretty Woman?
Did I not just say to you, I probably saw it about fucking 8 years ago?
Come on. Doesn't matter if you saw it 8 years ago. That film made an indelible mark on all our souls. I would say particularly Ginger Girl's souls. Because, and do you know what? It summed up that moment.
It made an incredible impact on you because you watched it when you were fucking six or something.
Yeah, well, it's true. So my auntie used to babysit me, and before she would leave, my mom would say just one thing, no Pretty Woman. And my auntie would throw on Pretty Woman and have her dates over, live her life. And I knew that film off by heart. I actually only in recent years copped that when she takes out the condoms, they're condoms. Like all this time, I'd say until I was at least 32, 33.
Oh, yeah.
They were balloons. But I just love that moment when she comes out and she's got the red hair flowing and she says red and he says better. Oh, just validation from a straight white male. Like I live for it.
I mean, I like the movie, but I wouldn't be like quoting lines.
Do you know what? I've gotten Fred on board because Fred obviously had seen the movie, as have most, but I would say the vast majority of people of our generation have. But he made the point. I was like, that is such a good point. Just when I thought I couldn't love Pretty Woman more. We were watching it and he said, you know what? This is so well done, because as she goes into the hotel room the first time, they spend like 15 minutes just going around the hotel room having this chat. And he was like, all of this is taking place in a hotel room. It's like a play. This is actually so well done. And that is why I am marrying Fred Cook. Stroke Fred Cook. He's not quite sure what his name is. Neither am I. Half the time he says Cook, half the time he says Cook. But I just thought, I was like, that is why I love you.
So what you're basically trying to tell us is that you are living in a very remote part of the country. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're coming here on holidays and I've got the beds ready. Look, there's two beds in the room. Can you see? Now, they're not dressed currently, but there's two beds there, Emma. We're ready. We're ready for everyone. I am. I think we're also, before we move on, because I did not intend to talk about Pretty Woman. Fred did make the point, and I was thinking it, and I was so glad he said it. Edward it's funny looking back on a film like that now, because although like they have amazing chemistry, he does talk down to her a lot. It's definitely a more disconcerting watch than it was many moons ago. Like, it's in terms of watching it, the vantage point has changed. That is all. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, he is paying her for sex.
God, haven't we all been paid for sex at some point in our life? Come on.
I mean, look, I'm not being judgy, but it's not the best start to a relationship, is it?
I remember.
Like, you know, they broke up. There's no way they stayed together.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look.
Come on. Yeah,
I would have been, and I'd say he would have floated the prenup for sure.
Oh, he rinsed her for everything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there definitely would have been a prenup there. And like, she would have gotten the car because he can't drive it.
Excuse would have been something like, you broke my heart. And it would have been like, it would have been something minor. Like, they would have gone somewhere and she teased him in front of people. And he's like, how could you do that? You know, I don't like to talk about that. Or blah, 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 blah.
I'd say they would have gone to
a minor.
Restaurant. Yeah, they would have gone to a restaurant. They'd probably be, I'd say, two kids in. And they would have gone to a restaurant. And
Wouldn't have gotten two kids in. Are you mad?
No, I think they would have.
They would have gotten
your mate Sarah's
a year and a half in max. I think
a couple of kids down the line.
They met while she was a prostitute. She had only the bag on her back. He was a billionaire or whatever. And you say, yeah, you kind of notice that he does talk down to her a good bit. You're telling me they got to the point of having two kids.
It did take me 30 years to cop that he talks down to her.
Unless she was pregnant and we didn't know in the last 20 minutes with twins. Yeah, but there's no way.
I think it would have been your mate Sarah, that situation all over again. I think 2 and 18 months, they'd be sitting in a restaurant. It'd be a business partner dinner. And Vivian would make a joke saying, oh, we better not sit near the window because someone's scared of heights. And Edward would say nothing, but he would go home and say, you humiliated me. And that will be it.
Hmm. She'd pack her bags.
Speaking of marriage, prenups and all the rest. Now, you know, myself and Fred, we're going to have friends at the wedding now.
Okay.
This is the new thing. We're going to have friends at the wedding. Now, I didn't want to have... Well, sorry, I shouldn't say I didn't want a bridesmaids, but now I think Fred wants two best men.
Yeah.
Perhaps three. Now, bearing in mind, this is a tiny wedding, so this is a bit ridiculous. So, we might only have two groomsmen.
Yeah.
In which case, I'll have two bridesmaids, of course, because, hello, we're egalitarian. But, if it goes to three, I have a question for you. Do you want to be the third bridesmaid? I thought it'd be really good for the brand.
What's the outfit?
Well, I haven't decided the outfit yet, but the function room is very, very small.
So sorry, who?
But you wouldn't actually, like, none of the bridesmaids are sitting at the table. Sorry. And none of the groomsmen are, like, the tables are tiny.
Who has to get ill for me to be made a bridesmaid? Who's my competition?
My cousin is going to be one bridesmaid because I was her bridesmaid, etc., etc. Family.
Okay.
And then Maria, who we love and adore. I would say friend to the podcast, but I'm not quite sure she knows I'm doing some podcasts. But Maria Brown, who we love and adore, is going to be number two. But yeah, so would you do it? You look so unimpressed.
Yes, I'll do it. But I mean, it's hard to say yes to something that... Why don't you wait and ask me if you need the person?
I think, you know, Frank gets excited. I think he's going to have three.
I know, but he might have to have two with the numbers, though, will he not?
Are the numbers going to be that small? We're planning on having 60 now.
Yeah, but 60 doesn't include yourselves though, does it?
No, but I think by then we should be able to have 60.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course I'll do it. But why don't you ask me when
it's
you know?
A maybe. Okay. Now, Brittany. Oh, nothing surprising there whatsoever in what came out this week.
No.
But so delighted.
I can't believe that's this week.
Hasn't it been the longest week of your life? I know. I know. And I forgot. I thought it was longer ago, but I'll tell you the reason I remembered it was this week was because we had our book club this week on Friday. Such good crack. I ended up chatting to them all. We were chatting till 10:30. So it was 2.5 hours of a book club. Great crack. I just love the book club gang. Next month is a nice little rom-com called Acts of Desperation, if you want to get on board. And if you do know any light books, kind of light, fluffy books, do let me know, because we were all saying it might be nice to do something a bit lighter for the next one. But anyway, we were talking about Brittany at book clubs. So I was like, oh my God, that must have been this week. But yeah, what did you make?
No, last week. Today's Tuesday.
I know, but like as in the last podcast.
Sorry, I thought you said this week. I thought you meant like in this week. That's why I was so confused. It's like, what?
Argue with me again like that, and your maybe offer of a maybe bridesmaid is off the table. Do you hear me? Now tell me, what did you think of the whole Brittany thing?
What did I think of the whole Brittany thing? Yeah, just, well, obviously, like, as you say, nothing crazy surprising, but I just felt very sad for her. I just felt very sad for her. And I just felt very sad for her. And I mean, even when I saw people kind of giving out, like, about Justin, like, getting his comment in, or Perez Hilton getting his comment in, I didn't really care about any of that. Whether they were in the right or they were in the wrong, or whatever. I just felt incredibly sad for her.
Well, it is. Incredibly sad. And I think, do you know, I was saying to Fred, the saddest part of it all was, I feel like this has happened in plain sight. I mean, you know, fair play to the people who did get this Free Brittany campaign off the ground. But even when she put up that post last week, apologising to the fans for pretending to be okay. Mm. You just want to give her a hug, don't you? It's just so awful. And the fact that in that post, she mentioned her mom, and I felt that she was maybe trying to delineate between her dad and her mom, because clearly the dad, I mean, when she said about how he just enjoys controlling her, like everything you presumed about that dynamic is true. It's in fact worse than I could have presumed it to be. I mean, and the thing about her not being able to get pregnant.
I know. I kind of feel like, well, maybe I'm probably being naive, but I'm like, oh, well, hopefully, like, if she was a star now, you know, hopefully that wouldn't happen again. I don't know if we'll have stars like that again. But then we do. They're just in a different way. Like, your one feckin' JoJo. Like, I mean, she's been on the go since she was tiny. Mm-hmm. Touring all over the world or whatever, you know what I mean? So...
And it's kind of terrifying as well to think a peer, a woman of our age, has never been allowed to grow up. So even though she has been worked to the bone, she still has to, it's almost like she is this hologram, this pop hologram that she has to perform and be this person she was back in the early noughties. And I think it's particularly terrifying when you're her peer, because you just think of how much you've evolved, and Brittany just hasn't been allowed to do that.
Yeah, because even like when you look at Christina, how different, like, okay, obviously they're two different artists and they're completely different, but she seems to have had a lot more control over what she does and her music and her image and all that stuff. Whereas Brittany hasn't really... Like, it's evolved a bit, but it hasn't really changed. Like, but obviously it's because there was powers that were just kind of keeping it the same brand consistently all the time.
Mm.
But I do feel very sad for her.
Yeah, of course. And did you know what was nice was the universal sympathy she got from people. You know, I think that was really heartening. I mean, you could say maybe it's a bit too little too late, but at the same time, like, just to see everyone behind her was amazing.
Yeah.
And sure, it comes back to, I'm sure we would have said it before because it's nothing original to say it, but like the likes of Charlie Sheen and co, I didn't see anyone at the time saying, you know what, Charlie, we don't think you should have financial autonomy. In fact, we don't think you should be able to make any decisions in your life. So we're going to keep you working, don't worry, but we're actually going to control the money. Like, I mean, Hollywood is built on men going crazy. And it's just, it's really frustrating because everyone has a 2007 in their lives. Like, that's why I always hated those mugs that, do you know, if you can get through 2007 and blah, blah, blah. And so many people would have said it to me flippantly over the years. And it just always, you know what I mean? It just never sat right with me because obviously they would say it to me in terms of if I was like in a bad place or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you kind of, even then you were looking at Britney saying, you know, when she was on the X Factor and stuff, and she just, you kind of say to yourself, well, was she allowed to get through it though? I'm not sure if she was. It was like she was just trapped in time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, even I was talking to somebody today about Monica Lewinsky, like bringing it right back. But the way, like, you'd hope that that wouldn't happen today, that her as a, what was she, 22, 23-year-old? And, like, the president of America whips out his Mickey and says, do you fancy a go on that? And then she's the one that's vilified and destroyed. And she was going to be destroyed either way, because if she hadn't participated, or she hadn't done anything,
engaged
in any like sexual activities, as he said himself, or whatever, I'm sure she would have been out of the White House pretty sharpish, because he probably would have been afraid that she'd tell people or there'd be rumors. So she was kind of like, she was fucked either way. And she was the one who was destroyed over that. And then Bill Clinton was reelected. And he kind of go, oh, it makes me just feel a bit puke. And he kind of would hope something like that wouldn't happen today. And then it's like, you kind of go, oh, but what is it? Just the nuances of it are different, but it still happens in the media and whatever, just in a slightly different way, that they've changed the language and the whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, the what basically what I'm saying in a big roundabout way is the whole Britney thing, you'd hope that that wouldn't happen to another star. But then what's to say that it wouldn't? What's in place to stop
but
it?
Look at female
stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look at like Demi Lovato, and I know it is slightly different, but like a lot of that documentary, you know, she relapsed back on heroin, and she talks about it very openly in the documentary. But a lot, I suppose, she kind of says that, you know, many of, you know, I suppose much of the reason that she was kind of driven to relapse and did kind of have another breakdown as such, and obviously was really, really incredibly unwell for a long time. But she talked about that every aspect of her life was controlled.
Yeah.
And it's really disturbing to watch it. And again, you do have to say to yourself, I mean, it has to be gendered to an extent. It, you know, it definitely does. And I know it was a bit annoying when people were kind of bashing Justin and Perez and all of them, because you kind of think, yeah, but the whole point, guys, is who cares what they say? Let's not even talk about them. They shouldn't even be part of this conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I had to ask you, Love Island, did you watch it?
I did watch it. Now, I hadn't watched the winter one. I decided, like, oh, I'm not fucking getting involved. But then, you know, the way during the summer, your evenings kind of feel a little bit longer. So I just thought, oh, fuck, go on. I'll have a look at the first episode. I had forgotten how, like, so the WhatsApp group was saying that the Love Island experts, so there was a couple of people kind of giving it a whirl for the first time. And they were like, oh no, like the first episode and the last episode are always the worst episodes of the fucking series. Because they were just like, this is fucking shite. Like somebody switched off after 15 minutes. And I was like, yeah, no, that's actually a good thing to remember, that the first episode is always pretty crap. Oh, it was so cringy. And now I know they said that this year is their first ever contestant who is physically disabled. I'm not sure, I haven't done enough research into it, but all of the people
who
in it
was physically disabled.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's somebody that's coming in later or something. Okay. I don't know. Or it could be somebody there. I don't know. I didn't look enough into it. But like looking at all the people on it, they're all again the same people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Prototypes, yeah.
The same prototypes. And yeah, I just like, oh, there were certain elements of it where I was like, I don't know about this. That like that's me going on the very like serious side of things, right? And then on like the funnier, like, you know, enjoyable TV element or whatever. The bit at the end when it was near the end or whatever, when they were doing the like reading the thing out of the box to do as the couple challenges. And I was just like, oh my God, fuck, I totally forgot that they did stuff like this. And some of those bits, I was like, oh my God, I can't even fucking watch.
I know. I
was
You'd just be like, dissolved this is too... into the couch.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, this is like fucking bringing me back. Like, this is Wesley 1999. I was just like, oh, my sweet Jesus, this is too much to handle. But look, I wish them all well. I just thought Laura Whitmore is funny. She was just like pure Irish. Like, this is exciting, isn't it? This is exciting.
I know.
They're
like,
yeah,
it is. Laura was really trying to make it happen, wasn't she?
She just kept saying, this is exciting, isn't it? Are you excited? Yeah. This is exciting, isn't it? But
I'll give it
a few more episodes, you know what I mean? But like, come on, this isn't, you know what, we all know what the fuck this is like.
Yeah, well, it does what it says in the tin. I mean, I suppose I did dip into it because I was conscious of me going off on one last week and how, oh, I don't know if I can really get invested. But I have to say, watching it did make me feel sad in places. And not really? Just because you kind of think about, well, I suppose you're kind of looking at them and they're all sketchamini, aren't they? Like, they're all excited to be there and they think this could be my big platform. You know, like, they're excited. They're really excited for what's to come, and they think this is going to change their lives. And I suppose what we know of reality TV and what it does to people, the way it chews people up and spits them out, it made me sad from that point of view, because just to see them so, to quote Laura Whitmore, so excited, just to see them so excited, you kind of think, oh, I just hope this process is going to be kind to them. And even in the promo, and I'm not, you know, the way, do you find this, that you're kind of like, have I seen that girl in the promo? I actually can't even discern if that's the person I saw in the promo clip. But I did see one girl who was talking about, she was a blonde girl. She was talking about how she liked to flirt with married men and she really enjoyed
the
weekend. And that made me uncomfortable, because you can see how they're setting that girl up for a fall, can't you?
Well, at the same time, you know, has she not set herself up there?
I know, but it's you.
But I suppose you would wonder, did somebody say to her, oh, like, you realise what you said there, don't you? Like, you know how that will be perceived. But then I suppose you can't be stopping them every 5 minutes and saying,
well, you can't, because that's not good TV then.
No, I'd be interested to see how it'll pan out, even from a... you know, like social, you know, like kind of like as you say, and the broader subject of reality TV. So will there be, you know, a villain character this year? you know,
well,
like
it's
the baddie
of Love Island, isn't it? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I
but let's see what way that's set. Yeah, but let's see like what way that's edited or portrayed or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I, well, like the pro, you know, maybe the main thing aside from you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, I hope they're kind of okay at the end of all of this. I suppose the flip side is that it just was a bit boring. Now, I know the first episode is always boring.
Yeah, it's a bit boring.
But
yeah.
I felt the characters, you know, realistically, how often does Amora come along? Not very often. Mm. And I feel like there wasn't really Amora, at the risk of judging them too quickly. It just felt all very homogenous. It didn't feel like, you know, and again, it's their first night. They're going to be nervous. They're going to be a little bit sheepish, etc. But you just think to yourself, I don't know. Is there? Well, there might be more down the line. And then
you need an Irish person. Basically.
You do. You need an Irish person for sure. And Hugo, the PE teacher, you're like, well, look, that was 3 years of college. You're never going to get back. Like, clearly the PE teaching is over.
I know. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's
toe
just
sucking. I'm over it. We're over the toe sucking. And then the way they said, 30 seconds, you've got to twerk. Oh my God. Like twerking. Come on. I twerk in the queue in Centre. I'm twerking. Like we're comparing that. We're putting that on a par with sucking a stranger's toes. Like I'll tell you what I did after watching Love Island. I went off. I passed my hand-drawn traffic light and I went into the shower. And I scrubbed my toes. I knew no one was going to suck them. But it just made me so paranoid. I was like, what if you didn't know that was coming? And next thing, someone's sucking your toe. It just, it's, oh no. And we're comparing that to twerking? Something I'm doing right now? Like,
oh, but you know the bit that really, the bits that really wound me up could just go be the way I was feeling at the particular time when I watched it. And I can't remember, there was two contestants that made references to, like, I hold on to your hats here, people, because I really enjoy sex. It's like, yeah, you're chemically programmed as a human being to enjoy it. That's the whole, yeah, the point of it is to, you know, at its basic form, procreate, but it's actually meant to be enjoyable. So you do it as much as possible. And procreate as much as possible. Like this radical statement, I enjoy sex or I really like sex. I'm just like, oh, big fucking whoop. So did your fucking granny. Do you know what I mean? Like, as if this is a big fucking thing. It just really pisses me off.
I can tell.
I enjoy sex. Whoop-dee-doo. Don't we all?
Yeah. And all the intros are the same,
aren't they? Same.
My friends would say I'm funny, I'm bubbly, and I just love to have fun.
No, but like she's got to be fit because you know the physical attraction is the first thing. But you know, like a personality and like you know, oh my God, it's just. But look, I'll keep watching.
No, I think I actually think you are watching it. I think I might be out. I don't know. You see, the
really?
Problem is that if something scandalous happens that you're like, oh, I kind of want to be on board. I don't want to be watching
it
then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. It felt, aside from the boring ethics of it all, blah, blah, blah. And like, I love my reality TV. So I'm absolutely no snob. Like, I love my bit of bubblegum. It just felt a bit boring. A bit like we've seen this all before. I do think Caroline is a big, I think her absence is felt. Like she was so part of the fabric of that show. Because you kind of, as well with Caroline, it was the fact that we did know so much about her love life and you really felt that she was really in it.
Okay, like she really cared or like, you know, I know what you mean. If there was one of them that had been particularly unlucky for a couple of weeks or some, or a couple of days in a row.
There was obviously a real empathy.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
There was
I know
a real
what you
empathy.
Mean. You felt like she did care.
I'm not saying Nora isn't empathetic, but I just don't think she would get it as much, you know, because she's going home to Ian and Stevie and the dog. Like, that's what I'd be thinking.
Okay.
Picking up to Laura Whitmore, please don't stop listening to the podcast. Okay, thank you.
No, but you know what? I think the first episode of these things is always hard, you know, reality TV.
Of course.
And you're just like, what's her name again? What's his name again? What did he just say there? And then you just kind of, what you have to do is, you see, we're at that point now where we need to just move past this. And if we're going to continue to watch, you just need to switch off and just watch it. So you see, it's just that we haven't switched off yet. And it's been a while since I've watched any reality TV, to be honest. So I'll just switch off and, like, don't get me wrong, I wasn't there watching, like, you know, thumping the sky going, oh, what did she say? I was just like, you know, a bit of an eye roll or whatever. So I'll just switch off and then I'll be grand. I'll be totally on board.
No, and I think it's the nature of these shows, whether it's Real Housewives, whether it's Big Brother, whether it's any of them, the nature of them is that as it goes on, it does get more and more contrived because the contestants are more self-aware. And, you know, unfortunately, that does damage the brand, whether it's Real Housewives, whether it's any of the rest of them, it doesn't matter. So I think that's just
Maura was particularly good in it. And it was the same with Big Brother back in the day. You know, not every, like, you know, Celebrity Big Brother and otherwise, not every series of Big Brother was an absolute cracker. Like the year Ray Shah was in it was a bit of a fucking disaster.
What is Ray up to?
Ray's doing grand. I see him popping up all over the place.
Oh, no, I mean, like, as in, I don't mean that as in, like, what's he up?
But, oh,
like,
yeah, I know, yeah.
I know I had seen him doing something, but I, like, he's definitely someone.
I think he had a radio show for a while. And
I think he was on the radio, but he's definitely one who could walk away from the wreckage for sure. I mean, geez, talk about likability. He was
so good. He was like the most likable, most entertaining of that series. He was just unlucky that it was a boring series.
It was a really, do you know, now that you say it, I could not name another contestant from that year, but I remember at the time Ray was the only thing that kept me going.
Yeah, there was a, yeah, I could name, yeah, I could probably name a few of them now if I was bothered. But
well, come here, listen. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to feck off now because...
So what can I do to make the cut of the bridesmaid thing?
Well, I think...
That doesn't involve any effort on my part.
I'll be honest. I think we are going to have three. I really don't want to have three because I think when it's such a small wedding, three is very exciting.
And who's Fred going to have?
Fred really... See, you know, my Fred is just so adorable, my little Freddy, and he loves a good wedding. He's this unusual creature that he loves a good wedding. And I was trying to talk him down for the three, but I just think he really... it's hard not to give it to him because he really wants the three. But I might see... He might see reason.
I know what you mean. If it's going to be small... Would be better. Yeah, or even one with the small, like...
Well, I did float one. But Fred was like, definitely too. So I think we'll see. We'll see. I think I might try to.
Yeah, two might be nice because there'd be you two, the two sets of parents. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we're not going to even do a top table thing. It's going to be very casual. Like, as in the bridal party, we'll just be sitting with whoever. So myself and Fred maybe and the two parents might be at the table, but then we were going to have everyone just sit together.
So you're just going to have it. Okay.
So we're doing a wedding at four.
But if you look at it this way, you and Fred is two.
And we're having dinner.
Yeah, but if you do you and Fred and the two sets of parents, right, that's six people. How big is this fucking table that, like, we're all just going to sit at the same table?
But that's what I'm saying, that I think we're just going to, like, as in, you guys wouldn't be, well, if you were to be bridesmaid, look, now that I say this out, I think I need to tell Fred that I just think three would be ridiculous. Don't I?
Well, so, like, there's you two, right? And there's the two sets of parents, that's six. And then you've got another six for your bridesmaids and your groomsmen. So that's 12. So it's, and then obviously Ted is involved in the wedding as well. So you might as well just, like, everyone in the wedding, because you're going to have, like, you're going to have people doing readings and stuff, are you?
I suppose one or two.
Yeah. So basically everybody at the wedding is going to be involved in the wedding.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be kind of nice?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Like, it's going to be super casual because I only wanted a half day. So just a half day. So church at 4, going for a drink, then the dinner.
You keep making this wedding sound as if you're just going to show your respects at a fucking funeral.
I'm just going to pop in, get out. I know, but I just think nobody likes to be hanging around at a wedding. Church, drink, dinner, bit of a dance, done.
Sorry if and I'm yawning. But no one likes to be hanging around. What the fuck are you talking about? If I'm going to a wedding in Kerry, I'm staying overnight. If you try to make it into a three-day festival, I might start getting a bit itchy because I might be like, I actually have to go and pick up my kids. But like, where is the hanging around? I'm going to be hanging around anyway. I'm not getting back in my car and driving back to Dublin that time,
like reception at, you know, that time in between weddings, the church at 12, dinners at 6, and the hanging around in the middle. No, like we're just getting rid of that.
I don't know who you are worried about. There is food, there is drink. There is chats and crack to be had. When have you been at a wedding and thought about this is really taking up my whole day? It's a fucking day. That is what it is.
Well, like, this is going to be a half day.
Who's complaining? Who's complaining?
It's going to be a half day. Fred's best man, groomsman. So he's going with his brother. He's going with his kind of his cousin, but he's a very distant cousin, and he's his best man now in September.
Okay.
And the third person he wanted to go with was Podge from Ham Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like best buddies. Mm-hmm. Love Podge, he's great. So that's, but I need to, do you know what? I need to talk him down because it would just be ridiculous. Like, Fred was kind of like, it's our wedding, let's just do it for the crack. But I don't think I could go through with three.
I mean, yeah, do whatever you want.
Okay, thank you. I will.
No, but you know what I mean? Anyway. There's no rules. Do whatever
you
want.
I think I might take this part out of the podcast because it's a bit boring, isn't it?
A lot of people would be interested in wedding. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are have the same quandaries of what they're going to do about their wedding and who's going to come and who's not going to come and what they're going to do. And
yeah. I don't know. It's a toughie. Well, look, it'll be fine. It's just I really wanted something casual and small, and I just can't believe now this is turning into a real wedding.
Well, if you want something casual and small, just fucking elope.
I know, but Fred doesn't want to do that, and he's kind of involved. Do you know what I mean?
When's it happening? December, is it?
11th of December, chalk it down. Like, you're going to be there. You're going to be, obviously, because it's saying you'll be invited anyway.
Oh, well, do you know what? I'd be happy to be a guest.
So you're saying no to potential bridesmaid?
No, I'd love to be a bridesmaid, but I wouldn't be one of these people of like, oh my God, I hope she asks me to be a bridesmaid. If I was a guest, I'd be absolutely delighted. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've already planned now, because I hope this isn't too controversial, but because it's obviously we're very tight on numbers, our plan was to not ask plus ones. Now, I know that might seem a bit controversial, but what we're going to do instead is to make sure that people have buddies to sit, you know what I mean? So like somebody, you know, to have the crack with. So for example, I was saying for you, I was like, okay, if there's no plus ones, then Emma could sit beside Laura or Garode, you know, like, so it's like,
oh,
yeah,
oh, sure, whoever,
like people, you know, yeah. Well, I think it's nice, you know, you will make friends, of course, on the day, but it's just nice to have someone that you do know that you can have the crack with, you know,
yeah,
because you need a wingman at a wedding, it's really, yeah, important. So I, you know, no plus ones, but like done in such a way that somebody, like everyone has somebody there,
yeah. And do you reckon I'll be able to kind of emotionally manipulate Garode into like driving and picking me up?
You know it. Garode is just like a dream.
Now that sounds deadly.
Yeah. No, I think I'll check in with you. And in terms of bridesmaid dress, all I'm doing is I'm actually saying to people, this is the colour. And you go off and pick a dress that you like.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. I think that's what most people do now. Am I right?
I don't know. It's been a while. Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, it's been a while with the old Covey as well. Well, I haven't been to any Covey weddings.
No, I haven't been to any COVID weddings. But like, look, it is one of those things that it's kind of turned into kind of a bigger thing that I wanted it to be. But I'm conscious of, you know, you really want to make the other person happy as well. And it's kind of, you know, it is about a compromise.
But then I suppose if you just send out your invites, then it's kind of done, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're going to do that, I think, this week.
Okay, yeah.
Well, when I say invites, we're just going to text people and explain, like, this is the date. And then... followed up with like
I don't think the plus one thing is weird at all. Like Shane went to a wedding there. I know, like, this was a good while pre-COVID, but there was no plus one.
Yeah. No, I think, well, I actually think one,
it's even more thing, understandable at the moment, like.
Yeah, I think one good thing to come out of the COVID, it's kind of given people to license to have maybe the wedding they want as well. So like not really have to invite the plus ones. And like, it is kind of a good excuse in a way, because personally, I kind of would like to get all my mates in the one room. And like, I'd rather have more mates there. This sounds so bad, but I'd rather have more mates there than mates and husbands, partners there.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
So listen, start looking up peach dresses. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Love you. Okay, bye.
Bye. God bless patrons and... listener, a little bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.